everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Crime and Coffee Couple. My name's Allison.
And my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Allison. How are you, my love?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back in this chair with you.
Are you?
Yeah, we were gone for a few days, but maybe about five. We were in Chicago.
Yeah, at podcast time, it was like 2 weeks since we recorded it before.
Yeah. So
it was interesting. Interesting time. We missed all you guys and gals.
We did, desperately.
Yeah, so welcome us back, please. Like right now, if you're listening, just be like,
just shout
welcome
out.
Back, guys.
Welcome back.
Here, wait, let's listen.
That's so nice.
Oh, from all over, every country, so nice. All over the world. Thank you guys so much. It's so nice to be back. So,
I actually am glad to be back.
Yeah, you know, like every vacation, it's nice to get away. Yeah, we got away to Chicago. If you look at our Instagram, you saw that it was actually raining like ice pellets on our faces.
Mm-hmm. It snowed.
Snowing ice
pellets. Little hail balls.
Yeah.
I said, who goes to north for spring break?
People that have family in Chicago.
So needless to say, our flight from Tampa to Midway Airport was empty. Mm-hmm. Like 60 empty seats on the plane.
Because nobody in the right mind is going to Chicago right now.
The flight from Midway to Tampa was not a single seat left in the plane.
Jam-packed with kiddos.
Tons of kids.
There was like, it looked like nobody was in the back, but like the flight attendants were like, I assure you, these seats are filled with children. There is like, one middle seat left.
People, stop walking back here. You will not find a seat.
Like, it doesn't look like there's people, but every seat is filled with a tiny head.
Yeah, so it's good to be back. It was great to see family. We have a new nephew in addition to our 8-month-old niece.
Yeah, new kids popping up all over the place.
Yeah, it was nice to see everybody. I always love going back. Sometimes I toss around potentially moving back there.
Do you? Yeah, you actually do. I don't know why I said do you, because you're always like, well, it'd be nice to get a house over here. It's like, yeah, if there was just like no such thing as money or jobs or anything like that, absolutely. We'd have a house pretty
money,
much every state.
Money.
Yeah, who needs it?
Exactly. Right? Let's just be snowbirds. We'll live here in the winter and up there in the summer.
That'd be nice.
Perfect.
Let's develop like a house exchange program or something.
We'll do it.
Somebody in Illinois, you got a nice house, you know, we'll exchange in the summer.
We'll just switch.
Yeah. And then I guess we got to find somebody who's willing to be here in the hot summer heat.
Oh, good luck, because it's miserable.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. About 8 months of misery, I'd say.
No, definitely seven. Not that much. Probably about five, maybe. It's
okay.
Beautiful right now.
Folks,
oh, my gosh.
So right now it's beautiful, and I challenge you to see how long Allison complains about the weather.
July, August, September are the three worst months of the year here.
So you're not going to complain.
It's hell on earth here.
You will not complain until July?
I'm sure I'm going to be like, oh, it's so hot. You can't make me happy. If I'm living in Illinois, as I did for 25 years, I was cold.
Right.
You bring me down here, I'm hot.
Yeah, you bring her up there. It's like, I miss my mom and dad who live in Florida. Okay, let's go move to Florida. Here we are.
Ooh, I want to move to Chicago.
The moral of the story of this is that you can't make me happy.
That's true. Your nails match your microphone cover thing a little bit.
No, not at all. This is pink. My nails are purple.
Ah, so. Same thing. Pretty much same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that is a great segue to say, hey, if you haven't checked us out on YouTube yet, please go check us out. We're trying to grow that channel. I think we're up to like 1,000 subscribers, so keep on growing. Allison's touching her cheek, doing something cute, I think.
I'm not cute.
Honestly, it's probably not that cute.
It's not cute at all.
And if you're like going to the page and being like, wow, they're probably good-looking people. Like, Allison's good-looking, but I'm sorry for my look and appearance.
No, you're handsome. You're a handsome little devil.
That was just me fishing for a compliment, so
and
thank
I
you.
Took the hook and I bit it.
Yep.
And also, if you like what you hear here... we have over 50 bonus episodes. We are over on Patreon as well as Apple Podcast subscriptions, so you could check us out over there if you want to hear some bonus content.
Yeah, over 50, so it might even be like 57 including espressos and stuff.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and count it all.
60
it's
almost
growing.
Yeah.
Every week we do one a week, so 4 a month bonus episodes.
Yeah so check
and then
us out.
4 regular episodes.
Yep. Right now, there's like 4 crumble cookies waiting for us in the kitchen. So
no business.
Those are so dangerous. I don't know if you have a crumble cookie near you. You probably do because they just grew like 500 locations nationwide.
Well, we're speaking to just U.S. citizens. I don't know if they're outside the United States.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're missing much. It's basically a very soft cookie. So
it's pretty damn yummy. They do all sorts of different flavors. And we go to this sushi place. And the kids, I swear, part of the reason why our daughter likes that sushi place is Crumble is right next door.
It's guaranteed we're getting a cookie afterwards.
Yeah. So we didn't just get one cookie. What'd you say, six?
Six, yeah.
Yeah, just gluttonous.
Yeah, pretty fat. So
I'm just eating this cookie on the way home from dinner. I'm like, I have no business eating these cookies.
I just finished a full dinner and an edamame appetizer. And you know what? I'm going to have a 1,000-calorie cookie right now.
So gross.
Yeah, that's the American way. So
sickened.
Yeah. One more thing I wanted to mention. You've got some really cute shirts from American Eagle, and they make your Hooters look really nice. So if you're watching on YouTube, you probably can't see them because of her laptop in front of them.
Oh, let's just go ahead and move this. Hey, fellas. Hey.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
So I will tell you my nickname, and it's not really. I call myself this A Cup Alley. Uh-huh. So let's just say there's not a lot to work with here. When a shirt can accentuate what I do have, I'm going to snatch it up.
Hey, you're lovely either way.
And they were on sale. So yeah, win-win.
Win. Mm-hmm. Win, win, win.
Win, win, win.
Yeah. You ready to do this?
So I am ready to do this. And this is an especially sad case. I know I often say that.
You really know how to pick them. I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Well, our listeners actually pick them. So this is actually a listener suggestion. This is from Natalie. So thank you, Natalie, for sending this our way. This is a recent case. So I have the information of what is available right now. And there is a lot that we're still putting the pieces together because really an arrest was just made like, I don't know, a week ago, maybe.
Okay. So let's, for posterity's sake, let's say this is March 29th as we record this, 2024.
Yes.
So if you're listening to it in a few months from now, there might be more information.
Yeah. So this just happened about less than a month ago at the point that we're recording this. So this is the murder of Madeline Soto. And I hate to tell you this, but it is a child. And there is talk of brief, nothing in depth, sexual issues here, sexual assault against a child. So it was 4:30 p.m. on Monday, February 26th, 2023. And this is when we first found out that something was going on. So Jen Soto drove to Hunters Creek Middle School in Orlando, Florida, to pick her 13-year-old daughter, Madeline Soto, up. When Madeline failed to come out of the school, Jen went inside in search of her daughter and learned that she had been absent that day. She had never come to a single one of her classes. Since Jen knew that her boyfriend, this is 37-year-old Stephen Stearns, had taken Madeline to school that morning, she immediately called him to get to the bottom of what had happened that morning. Stephen told her that he dropped Maddie off that morning, I should say, and last saw her when she got out of the car in front of Peace United Methodist Preschool. This is about a half mile down the street from Maddie's school. Stephen explained that Madeline wanted to walk the rest of the way to school from that location. He said that this was about 8:40 a.m. and that classes were to begin at 9:30 a.m. So that's actually a lot of time.
Very early. And why were they so far? Was it far or no?
No. Well,
it sounds like she was dropped off at a preschool.
Yeah, maybe about 0.4 to a half mile from her middle school.
And why so far away?
So, and I will bring that up in a second. They were guessing that maybe being just a new 13-year-old that she was embarrassed by being dropped off in the car that she was being dropped off in, or by the fact that it was her step, or not even stepdad, because it's her mom's boyfriend. They're not married. That's what they speculated. You know, a teenager, they get embarrassed of parents. Maybe that was why.
Okay.
So the last time Madeline had been seen was on Village Park Drive in Kissimmee, Florida, near Orlando by her school. Jennifer soon found out that Madeline had never made it to school, like I said. In addition to that, she had left her cell phone at home. So Maddie was born on February 22nd, 2011. She had just celebrated her 13th birthday 4 days before she went missing. She was very excited to be entering her teenage years. That's, you know, super exciting. There was a birthday celebration actually for her just the day before that she disappeared. This was held on Sunday, February 25th. Maddie lived with her mom, Jen, in the Venetian Bay Village condos on Santa Maria Drive in Kissimmee, Florida. This is about 13 miles away from the most magical place on earth, Walt Disney World, or the biggest hellhole on earth, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, especially now, spring break.
Yeah, hot, crowded, forget it. To me, it's a hellhole. Madeline's mother and father were not married. Her father had actually married another woman when Maddie was only a couple of months old. So Jen and Stefan were not married, but despite this, Jen had been known to refer to him as Madeline's stepfather. Jen hadn't been at the birthday party that was held just the day before. Apparently, from what she said in her news reports, she had to work that day. A lot of people in the videos that I've been watching have spoken out against this, the fact that why in the hell would you plan your child's birthday party on a day that you couldn't attend? I am someone that doesn't like to pass judgment because I don't know the circumstances of what was going on in their lives. Maybe she's struggling financially and she has to pick up all and any hours that she can get.
That's really the only acceptable answer. So let's just assume that.
So she was at work. It's not like she was out gallivanting about while her daughter was having a birthday party.
And being a half-decent mother, I'm sure she wishes she was there.
And have I ever missed one of my children's birthday parties? No, I have not. I specifically plan them for times that I can be there. I don't know the circumstances around the birthday party. Was it a last minute plan thing? I don't know. It didn't appear to be so based on the balloons and the streamers and the people that were there.
Weird.
They believe that it was held at a relative's house, possibly Maddie's grandmother's. So after
weird that they don't know for sure. Like, wasn't there like dozens of people? Like, can't you?
Nobody's speaking out. Yeah, it's very, very quiet.
Okay.
So after Jen had been unable to locate Madeline anywhere at the school, she contacted the Orange County Sheriff's Office to report her daughter missing on that Monday at 8 p.m. Again, she first realized that something was amiss at 4:30 when she went to the school at dismissal time. She began calling around to see if anyone had seen Maddie. She speculated that maybe Maddie had walked off to somewhere, including her mother's office slash Maddie's grandmother's office, because apparently she worked nearby.
And you said that that was the last anybody saw her. So I'm guessing you're going to say she didn't make it to school at all.
She did not make it to school at all.
Okay.
So again, she's reporting her missing at 8 p.m. She indicated that Madeline had never run away before. The following day was Tuesday, and this was when a missing child alert was issued to the public about Madeline's disappearance and was requesting any and all information that anyone had about Maddie and where she could possibly be. In the meantime, Jen was interviewed by local news channels, and I watched these myself. Stefan could be seen sitting in the background. It was actually kind of awkward because she's talking in front of a Zoom camera and you see him kind of crossing in the film or in the view of the camera. And then he chooses a chair like in the corner of the view of the camera.
Weird.
And he's just sitting there.
So you're almost like you're not next to her and like supporting her. You're like in the weird background. You're like just
Creeping. Can see him. So it was kind of strange.
And he could see himself on the thing too, because he knows what he looks like on the thing. Okay, interesting.
So as Jen is speaking to the reporter via Zoom at her own home, she explained what had happened on the morning that Maddie disappeared. She said that Stefan dropped her off at the church and there was video footage that showed, she herself had not seen this video footage, but it was there. And she was told that Madeline had hung out in the parking lot of the church for a few minutes until she could be seen at about 9 a.m. walking to the school, and we do know classes were set to start at about 9:30 a.m. Police speculated again that maybe Maddie requested to be dropped off at that church in location because she was embarrassed of whatever. It sounds like that was not a typical routine.
That would be my other question. Was this a normal thing?
No, it does not sound like she would normally be dropped off at that location. She would normally be dropped off at the school.
Okay, so they confirmed seeing her at this church on the video surveillance.
According to what Jen was saying to the reporter.
Okay.
Yes. She said, none of us have seen it, but we were told that this is what was what. So Jen said that when she couldn't find Maddie at the school, she drove around the area. She was searching for her. Again, she thought maybe she had walked somewhere nearby, but she couldn't find her. So this is when she called 911. It was, 3.5 hours had gone by before she did call 911. So this is when she realized that something must be truly wrong when she still couldn't find Maddie.
3.5 hours is a long time.
Is it 3.5? My math is a little shady here. 4:30 to, so about 4 hours. No, yeah, 3.5. 3.5, thank you. So I am smarter than I thought. Just such good math. So again, this is when she realized when she couldn't find her daughter that something must be terribly wrong. She made the decision to call 911. Again, because Maddie had left her cell phone at home, they clearly couldn't utilize that to help track her.
Right.
So in the meantime, her social media pages had gone untouched. She hadn't updated anything. None of her friends had seen her. Jen explained that Maddie had left her phone at home, which was not uncharacteristic of her. She did struggle with ADHD and she tended to be forgetful, according to her mom. Because Maddie did not have her cell phone, like I said, she couldn't be traced that way. Jen also indicated the fact that investigators had tried to trace her school-issued laptop, but that had been turned off and they were unable to locate her that way. So Jen explained to the reporter that she believed that Maddie had been taken against her will, because the reporter asked her, "What do you think happened?" And she said, "The only thing I could possibly think of is that she was taken against her will rather than the fact that she would have ever run away." So she said that she looked through all of Maddie's messages on her cell phone. None of them were out of the ordinary. None mentioned that she had plans to run away. Going somewhere without notifying an adult was absolutely not in Maddie's character. She said on top of that, she was a very happy girl. She had had an amazing weekend. She had just had her birthday party the day before. She had been celebrating with friends and relatives. She had the time of her life.
Okay, so everything's pointing at Stefan at this point in everybody's head.
Yes.
So what's going on with Stefan? I know you'll get to it.
So when, according to Jen, when they returned home from the party, Jen was not at the party, but I was told that Stefan was. So when Maddie got back from the party that Sunday, we don't know what time she got home from the party, but according to Jen, she had gone straight to bed. In other words, she hadn't got on the computer or on the phone to like plan something for the next day. Like, ooh, instead of going to school, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And kids these days, especially a teenager, like their fingerprints are going to be all over online somewhere. Like whether it's a text, whether it's some search, a web search or whatever. Like this is not Maddie trying to get away. Mm-hmm. This is definitely something bad happened to Maddie.
So according to Jen, again, after the party, Maddie came home. She went to bed, straight to bed. Nothing happened in between. On the Tuesday after Maddie went missing, more than 100 law enforcement officers searched for her in a nearby wooded area in Osprey Park. Investigators also gained access to Maddie's phone. They came across messages, unlike what her mom said, that there was no messages out of the ordinary, that she was planning on running away. Apparently, detectives found messages on Maddie's phone that indicated that when she turned 13, she wanted to run off and live in the woods.
Okay. Well, that's quite a departure from what she was saying.
So that's different than what the mom was saying to the news reporter.
I mean, literally the day after her party where she celebrated turning 13.
Right. So because of this, they were searching in wooded areas around the middle school to see if maybe she had just gone off on an adventure.
And it's almost like hopefully she did run away. And,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't something horrible.
So deputies searched the area where Madeline was last seen, where they had received tips, and any and all areas where any investigative leads took them. But each and every location they looked, they came up empty. Maddie was reportedly last seen at 8:45 a.m. on that Monday morning on Town Loop Boulevard near the Urbana Apartments in Hunters Creek.
So this is Stefan seeing her at 8:45 or somebody else seeing
her? Apparently saw her at this point in time.
Did you get this information from an individual? You said you were told?
I was told by the news reporters.
Oh, really?
Not personally.
Oh, okay. I
listen to them.
Okay,
I'm certainly not that important.
Well, no, you can talk to people. I'm just curious.
So she was wearing, according to what they had seen, she was wearing a dark green hoodie, black shorts, and white Crocs. She was carrying a black backpack with gray hibiscus flowers on it. She was described as being 5'1", 110 pounds, with blonde hair, blue eyes, and she had dimples. At 9:52 p.m. on Wednesday, February 28th, the Orange County Sheriff's Office announced that Jen's boyfriend, Stefan Stearns, had been arrested and charged with not murder, but sexual battery and possession of child sexual abuse material.
Ooh, child sexual abuse material.
So bad. So this had come after he gave investigators consent to search his phone, while also saying in that exact breath that, I accidentally performed a factory reset on my phone just today, the very day that Madeline disappeared.
Oh, man, too bad that stuff can't be found. Although it can, you dumbass.
So despite this, the OCSO, the Orange County Sheriff's Office, was able to recover everything.
Yeah.
And this included a plethora of disturbing images, as well as videos on Stefan's phone that were, quote, criminal and sexual in nature.
Ugh.
The detectives indicated that the characteristics of the room where all of this abuse happened match that of the room in which Maddie lived in the house with her mother. And to what degree that Stefan lived there or stayed with them, I'm not entirely sure. They did break up time and time again. The arrest affidavit indicated that the surveillance video that was captured by the church near Maddie's school, this is the reference that the mom made, Jen made, to the reporter saying there was surveillance of Maddie hanging out at the church until about 9 a.m. when she got up to head to school. What ended up happening was that this was very grainy footage, so it could truly not be proven to be Maddie. This was not Maddie that they saw in this video. So Orange County Sheriff Officer John Mina indicated that Stefan had the opportunity, once they found this disturbing, horrific material on his phone and the jig was up, he was obviously arrested and he had ample opportunity to come clean with detectives to help lead them to information to help find Maddie, because Maddie is still nowhere to be found.
Of course he has ample opportunity. He's in jail and he's sitting there with a bunch of police.
But, you know, he could have made the right decision and told them where they could find her, where she was.
I mean, I don't know why we would expect Stefan to be any kind of a decent human being.
Right?
He's an absolute piece of trash that should be killed and slaughtered in front of everybody. I would happily end his life in front of these people.
So at the time of his arrest, he invoked his right to an attorney and he declined to speak further before he was booked into jail. So basically, he refused to say anything in regards to what happened to Maddie.
Oh, man, I hope somebody in jail gets to him and just tears him apart.
He's like the worst of the worst. This is the thing. This is the person that people go after in jail.
Yeah, carte blanche, man. Go get after him.
And on Thursday, February 29th, 3 days after Madeline went missing, police met with Jen to inform her that they were confident that her daughter was deceased. So at this point in time, they were no longer treating this case as a missing persons. They were treating this as a homicide case based on the information that they had found.
So they found something. We don't know, but they found stuff.
There are certain things we do know and a lot of things that we do not know. So now they're not looking for Maddie. They're looking for Maddie's body. Mm-hmm. They elaborated by saying that the OSCO was in possession of a video that showed evidence that her boyfriend, Stefan Stearns, was throwing items into the dumpster behind their apartment building at 7:35 a.m. that Monday morning that he said he was dropping Maddie off at school. So they believed that Madeline had never been dropped off at the church, as Stefan had said he did. Instead, she was already deceased by that time.
Man, how does this woman date this dude? I mean, it's happening under your own roof, like these pictures and stuff. Don't you see like a change in your daughter? I'm sure, I mean, you know, I'm not... This isn't a victim blaming thing. This is just a fact of life thing. This is, don't you see any of this stuff going on? I'm sure the public is also saying the same thing.
Like, yes.
I mean, maybe you're so busy at work and trying to make ends meet, you just don't know that your own daughter is like suffering here. I'm sure she feels like garbage, unless she had something to do with this too, which we've heard, but I'll let you keep going.
So there's a lot we don't know about Jen and what she knew, but we'll go forward. I will tell you the information that I do have. So sadly, on Friday, March 1st, 2023, just days after Maddie went missing, tragically, her body was found in a wooded rural area of Osceola County along Hickory Tree Road at about 4:30 p.m. that Friday.
Wow.
This location was about 22 miles from Madeline's home. Incidentally, Stefan's 2010 silver Lincoln MKZ car was seen that Monday that Maddie disappeared between the hours of 1 and 2:30 p.m. in this exact area. This was Highway 192 and Old Hickory Tree Road, as well as Old Hickory Tree Road and Nolte Road.
Well, you know, it's awesome. Sorry to cut you off, but I work in the surveillance video surveillance industry now, and I'm starting to see cameras everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, and if you drive past any decent intersection, it's going to have cameras on them, made by usually a company called Flock that's actively watching every single car and recording every car going through. And yeah, it sucks being living in a surveilled society. But at the same time, if they didn't have all these cameras at the apartment complex, mm-hmm. at every intersection, they wouldn't find this dirt bag at all. So
here's the weird thing. I watched a lot of court TV and they showed the apartment complex. They weren't able to go inside because of it's gated or whatever, but there are cameras visibly posted everywhere at the entrance. And incidentally, and oddly enough, I had said that Stefan had thrown Maddie's items away in the dumpster by their complex. There is literally a camera mounted right above the dumpster. So plain as day, he would have known that he was being recorded.
Some people don't look, man. Some people are really stupid.
I'm talking plain as day.
Stefan's clearly an idiot.
They're everywhere. Okay. You can't. They're not hidden. They're not domes. They're literally cameras looking down.
A lot of times those are fake.
Oh, it wasn't fake.
But that's good.
So again, his car was seen in the exact area where Madeline's body was found. It was said that he had had a flat tire and may have been seen changing the tire in this area. So again, this is the Monday she disappeared between 1 and 2:30. So we know he was in this area in order to discard her body. They drove to this area on Court TV, and there's a memorial now set up at the location where Maddie's body was found. It's kind of like somebody's property on a farm. It's a quiet-ish road. There were a decent amount of cars, maybe more so because of the fact that the memorial is there now. But on the day that Maddie's body would have been discarded, the farmer had left the gate open. So this allowed Stefan to actually go onto his property and into the wooded area, because otherwise the fence is right off the street. He was able to actually get into the property. So he's just
looking for any random opportunity, basically.
Right. But I mean, there were a decent amount of cars going by, and this was the middle of the day. So he would have had to have worked pretty quickly to take somebody's body out of the car. It's just so disturbing. So again, we can only assume that the sighting of Stefan's car in this area is the reason why Maddie's body was found. Because had they not known he was there, who knows how long it would have taken them to find Maddie's body. So good thing is that they did find it quickly, more quickly than they could have. So officials from the Northport Police Department came forward and they indicated that Stefan's current address is actually in Northport. Oh. This is about 2 hours from Kissimmee.
Maybe even more. Yeah, it's like south of us here in Tampa. Yeah. So I was just out there.
They did talk about the fact that he did often stay with Jen and Madeline, but I guess that wasn't his permanent address. He's from Northport. So it was later realized that Jen told local news reporters that the last conversation that she had with Maddie happened on the Sunday night before Maddie disappeared. She would have come home from the birthday party, and I watched this video. She said it to reporters. She said, "I last saw Maddie on the night of her birthday party. We talked about the party. She was saying what she got for her present. She was so happy, yada, yada." Jen told her good night. This was the last time that she saw her daughter. However, other reports show that this is not what she's consistently saying. Hmm. She said that the last time that she saw Madeline was Monday morning at 8 a.m. She saw Maddie getting dressed for school.
Yeah, and before she went to school, saying goodbye or whatever. It's like, you didn't remember? And obviously, she went through stress. Hopefully, she's stressed out and she's not like happy to have her beautiful daughter gone. But yeah, anytime somebody's not telling the same story, you got to wonder.
Stories, when they're the truth, they stay the same. Yeah. That's all I can say. So how you can confuse that you saw your daughter the last time on Sunday night after the party versus Monday morning as she was getting herself dressed for school, it's beyond me. I do understand what you're saying, that she would be deeply stressed when she is saying these things.
And speaking of, how was she on these like interviews?
Lot calmer than I would be.
Yeah, like you wouldn't be.
I would be hysterical. I would have to be highly medicated in order to stand upright and breathe.
Did it seem like she was kind of enjoying the spotlight a little bit?
No. Okay. I didn't gather that. No. I can't even fathom. If I even think of our daughter going off to college, I start to cry.
You wouldn't be able to go on the news. You'd be like, she left us on Monday. She's in a classroom right now. God. 8 hours away.
And, you know, sadly, our daughter was born the same year as Madeline, 2011. Our daughter will be 13 this year. So I just identify very closely with these cases because I can only put myself in these just tragic cases in their shoes. And I don't know. I mean, I don't ever like to be judgy because nobody ever knows how they're going to react in times of trauma and stress. So I don't want to be judgy. I'm just telling you what I saw.
Yeah, I'm a little judgy. That's all right.
So again, her reports aren't the same. So according to Jen, Stefan left to take Madeline to school. This didn't line up with what she previously said. She had been interviewed multiple times by detectives from two agencies, and they began looking at all the statements that she was making. Meanwhile, members of the community and Madeline's school came together to support one another on Saturday, March 2nd. This was the day after Maddie's body was found. They honored Madeline, who was described as a child full of light and love and someone who was always smiling. During the vigil that was held at Focal Point Church, little green pins were given out to mark the school's colors, as well as to serve as a visual reminder that the community was planning on sticking together while they healed from this terrible tragedy. One parent commented, "It's still denial. It's absolute denial. You do not want to believe that this happened to a little kid." Stefan initially told investigators, because he was on the news himself, crying and begging, you know, that they find Madeline safely. And he initially told investigators that after Madeline got out of his car by the church near her school, she stopped and she looked in her backpack as he drove away. This was the last time he saw her. This is the exact backpack that they just so happened to find in the dumpster behind the complex. So no, Stefan, you didn't see her standing by the church with a backpack because she was already deceased at that time and the backpack was in the dumpster.
And they're like, so if you saw her doing that, how'd the backpack end up in the dumpster when we have video of you putting it in there? Yeah.
And did you hear me mention that in addition to her backpack, her school-issued laptop was also recovered from the dumpster. Uh-huh. So again, that was at 7:35 in the morning. Jen is saying she saw Maddie getting dressed at 8 a.m. that morning. Hmm. So he would have already have tossed her belongings at the time that Jen is saying she saw Maddie getting ready.
Oh, wow. That's a wrinkle.
One of the court TV reporters was saying, you know, the thing that people are doing in the morning as they're getting ready to head out the door is making sure they've got all their things, their backpack, their laptop, etc. So why would he have thrown it in the dumpster at that point if Maddie hadn't already been gone at that point?
Yeah.
So lots and lots of questions. Mm. So according to Stefan, he said that he went home about an hour after he went to the vape store. He then ran errands and he was home until about 2:30 that day. Now, if you can recall, somebody saw him in the location of where Maddie's body was found between 1 and 2:30 p.m. changing a flat tire. So it's all lies. Yeah. Everything coming out of his mouth is a lie. Stefan told investigators that when he drove Madeline to school, she had slept most of the drive. When they arrived at the church where he dropped her off, he said that he told her that he loved her and have a great day at school is what he said as she was getting out of the car. According to Stefan, Maddie thanked him for the ride and told him that she loved him too. This was the last time he ever saw her. Lies, lies, lies. Yep. And there's a reason why he is saying that she slept most of the way, and we'll get to that.
Right.
So according to Stefan's Facebook page, he had previously worked as a cast member at Walt Disney World. More recently, he was a warranty manager and a production associate at Smart Build Homes in Orlando. Someone said that he might not be currently employed prior to this happening. I'm not entirely sure. In a now deleted video from November 10th, 2018, from Jen Soto's Instagram account, she began hanging out with Stefan as a couple as early as that year. So again, this is 2018. At that point in time, Madeline would have been 7 years old. Jen's mother, who is Yolanda Zambrano, she spoke with Telemundo 31. She indicated that Stefan did not stay with Jen and Maddie the weekend that Maddie went missing. I'm not quite certain about that because he was at the birthday party. Jen was not. He was there Sunday night, Monday morning. I'm not quite sure about that. Hmm. Throughout the relationship, Jen and Stefan had broken up and gotten back together several times. After a press conference on Friday, March 1st, investigators said that they believed that 37-year-old Stefan discarded Madeline's belongings after he moved her body rather than taking her to school as he claimed. As further investigating of the contents of his phone, they found sexually explicit material that was dated as far back as June 19th, 2019. And this is when Madeline was only 8 years old.
Oh my God.
This girl had been subjected to horrific sexual abuse since she was 8 years old. And it's so chilling and disturbing because they know the dates that these things happened because they're on his phone. And then you see pictures of them together the next day. And they showed a picture where Jen and Stefan are standing in a pool and Maddie is on Stefan's shoulders. And you can see she's got, you know, if a kid's on your shoulders and they're small, oftentimes they'll put their arms around your neck or head or something. She's holding onto the temples of his head with like her fingers splayed out and away from his head, which body language would tell you she's not comfortable with him. So it's just so tragic to think that this innocent little girl dealt with this for so many years. Ugh. And I read the affidavit. It's highly, highly disturbing. I will share none of that information on here because it's just so horrible.
What's an affidavit? When the cops say like what happened and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody needs to know that.
So
it just suffice to say it's terrible. So again, back to Jen, like, how do you, okay, Stefan, clearly horrible human being, yeah, deserves to be stabbed with knives in his eyeballs and sliced out and then cut his tongue off and shove it down his throat, whatever you got to do to him, like, totally fine. Now, Jen, for your daughter's been sexually abused for all these years, and not like, never were you like, oh, they're pretty close, those two, or wow, he puts her to sleep every night, whatever it is, like, I refuse to believe that she had no idea something was happening.
So you keep hearing trickles here and there and there as you listen to more reports. The latest thing I listened to said that Jen may have been aware of the fact that sometimes Stefan would sleep in the same bed with Madeline. I heard an inkling of that on a video. I'm not entirely sure the accuracy of the certain things I'm hearing. Who are they coming from? There's a lot of questions. Obviously, people are asking those very questions. How could this go on for that many years under your roof? Because all the videos were taken from Madeline's room, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, none of this is factual because it's all just us guessing. But I mean, you got to be kidding yourself if you didn't see some signs there. So, Jen, you better feel like an absolute piece of garbage because you had opportunities, most likely many, many, many opportunities to put a stop to this and you didn't. And you're a piece of garbage. Almost as bad as Stefan, I would say.
This is 5 years, but you hear so many stories about kids saying, my uncle was sexually abusing me for X years and my parents had no idea. You know, so it's like, at the same sense, I really hate to pass judgment about something I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, you know what, Jen, if you're listening to this, go ahead and just like message us on Instagram if you want to tell your side of the story. I'd be open to what, I'm open to anything. You know, I'm open to hearing out things. And if you'd like to come on, we'll put you on. But until then, I don't believe anything that I don't believe there was any way you missed like 17 different signs.
Well, and there's experts that say there are signs when a child is being sexually abused. They're going to act out in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to be touched by people. Maybe they want to keep their distance. They want to act out in certain ways.
And at the same time, she's a teenager. So you're like, oh, moody teenager.
But at that time, she was 8.
Yeah.
Well, it started when she was 8.
You know, we're trying to figure out the benefit of the doubt. Well, you are. But Stefan definitely deserves death and burning and like anything that bad can happen to him. I hope that happens immediately. I hope he's dead right now. But Jen, you know, definitely questions there.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Again, how do you get the time screwed up? Did you see your daughter that night? Did you see her in the morning when we believe she was already deceased at that time? We believe she was already deceased at 8 a.m. that Monday morning when Jen said she saw her daughter getting ready. So that's suspicious to me.
Yep.
So Stefan will be heading to trial this spring after he was charged with 60 child sex crimes. Thus far, he is only being charged with the crimes related to what was found on his phone. He has yet to be charged with Madeline's murder, despite the fact that investigators believe that he moved her body to the location where it was found.
So they haven't found a fingerprint or DNA or something yet?
Probably. I'll tell you more about that. Ooh. So he is being held on no bond, so he's behind bars. He's not going anywhere. So more charges will likely be coming, including murder, but only after a full and thorough investigation, according to the Kissimmee PD.
Take as much time as you need. Yeah. You know, definitely want to do it right. You don't want him getting off on some little thing that should have been done right.
There's a lot of circumstantial evidence right now. They want to solidify it and stick a bow on this so that mother effer rots in jail for the rest of his life.
So whatever you got to do, bring in the experts to make sure, like Kissimmee or whoever's taking care of this, make sure that you're doing it right.
And they're doing it. So Good. The department is conducting follow-ups, collecting evidence, working to prepare a solid case. They explain that once a suspect has been charged, they have a right to a speedy trial. This means that it would be within 180 days that this case would have to go to trial if they act immediately. So waiting to charge Stefan with Madeline's murder allows them time to continue the investigation while the suspect is held in jail without bond. Again, he's not going anywhere, so they're not necessarily under any great rush. They want to have rock solid information.
Well, I mean, he's already being held on something pretty bad. So.
Terrible.
Yeah.
The number one thing investigators will begin to focus on is DNA on key pieces of evidence. Obviously, they're going to look at everything. They will also focus on the cause of death. Right now, we have no idea what Madeline's cause of death was. The autopsy report has not been released. We have no idea how she died. So there's so much we don't know right now.
Poor darling.
Oh, it's just tragic. And the sickest part is you see her at her birthday party hours before whatever horrific thing happened to her happened. And she's swirling around these streamers and a dress. And she's a 13-year-old little girl.
No idea what this sicko has in store.
Well, she did know because she had been subjected to abuse for 5 years at that point. Her innocence. And that's something about children. They're so pure and innocent. They've yet to be tarnished by the things that happen in this world. And this little girl had to deal with this monster.
Well, regular life is hard enough as it is, you know, much less having to deal with sexual assault.
Oh, it's just horrific. So obviously, they're going to look to solidify any kind of DNA. They're going to focus on like any kind of surveillance they can get, all the Ring doorbell cameras, et cetera, et cetera. If Stefan does not confess to what happened to Madeline, investigators will need to start from square one and putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And this coward is not going to confess what he did. I just know it.
Right.
It's like the jig is up. We know it's you. We'll just take the time and do it ourselves.
Well, then you got to balance. Do we try to go for a lesser charge to get him, you know, definitely convicted, or try to go for the big one? I mean, as long as he's in a pretty bad jail, I think it's going to take care of itself, the problem. So, yeah, any prisoners out there, if this guy, Stefan, comes to your jail, don't kill him, but definitely let him know that he's not welcome.
Yeah. And again, they always say that child, you know, molesters get it the worst in prison.
Good.
So at 9:30 a.m. on Friday, March 1st, Stefan was transferred from the Orange County Jail to the Osceola County as he was staying with Jen and Maddie and Kissimmee. So it's all the jurisdictions of what happened where, you know, where he was living with Jen and Maddie is in Osceola County versus Orange County, where Maddie went to school. So he's being like bebopped around. On Saturday, March 2nd, Stefan waived his appearance as well as his reading of the charges. He indicated that he was aware of what he has been arrested for, so he chose not to show up. The Orange County Sheriff's Office worked in conjunction with Kissimmee Police to make Stefan's arrest ahead of his transfer to Osceola County. The sexual abuse depicted in the images and videos found on Stefan's phone happened in the family home in Kissimmee. So the Kissimmee PD were immediately notified that took over on the whole sexual battery case. Stefan is being represented by an unnamed public defender. He has thus far been completely uncooperative with detectives. He's being tight-lipped, not saying a word. Stefan is obviously the prime suspect in this case. They did make a statement that all members of Madeline's circle are considered suspects until proven otherwise. This includes, obviously, her mother.
Sure.
They're investigating everything.
Good, they should.
So the same day, this Saturday, March 2nd, an Instagram post was created by Sheriff Marcos Lopez on Osceola County Sheriff's Office about a community event for seniors. And in this post, a photo was accidentally included that depicted Madeline's body in a grassy wooded area after it had been found that Friday afternoon and stemmed from the investigation.
Oh my God.
So this picture was on Sheriff Marcos Lopez's phone and he clicked on it as part of a post for a community event.
Oh my God. So anybody scrolling through saw that?
Yes. Her body.
I'm sure that like somebody from the department's like, dude, you just posted that, you idiot. Take it down.
But a lot of people saw it.
Ugh, what a moron.
So many people saw this photo. The clothing that Madeline was seen wearing in this photo at the area where her body was found matched the outfit that detectives indicated that Maddie could have been wearing when she was last seen. So just terrible. And with this post, it caption read, "Great day with our seniors," followed by an emoji of a smiley face with a halo. So obviously that was promptly pulled down.
I mean, I don't know if it's fireable. We all make mistakes, but man, what an idiot. Delete that image from your phone, you stupid moron. Like, just, oh, God.
Florida law prohibits the release of photos that depict the killing of a minor except to a surviving parent. There is no indication to suggest that the photo was purposely posted. On March 5th, an investigation began about the released crime scene photo that was posted on the Instagram account.
Investigation? I mean, the guy had it on his phone. I guess they got to see where he got it from.
Right. I'm sure he was at the scene of the crime. And was he allowed to take that photo with his cell phone? I don't know. The crime scene photo was posted on the same day that another person, this is Nina Rodriguez, and she's a civilian sheriff's office employee, she posted a photo on her personal Facebook account of herself doing like a selfie with Stefan Stearns there. And it held the caption, "If God's love has been poured out over your life, don't allow evil to keep you away from what he has prepared for you." So that's kind of, you know, something that they don't want done either.
Maybe don't like use your job as, you know, something personal Facebook posts. You know?
It's like I work in a hospital. You just don't post photos from you at work.
Especially if you're like a public servant kind of thing, you know, just like leave that there and then your personal life is different.
Separate.
Just like, let's not put them together.
Keep them separate. So after Madeline was reported missing, local parents began questioning school protocols and focused on why Jen hadn't been notified when Maddie hadn't shown up for school that day. Because we do know Jen didn't know about it until 4:30 p.m. at the time of dismissal.
Yeah.
Why wasn't she notified at 9:50 in the morning when Maddie wasn't in her first class?
Right. Missed her first class and then the second class and so on and so forth.
So Orange County schools notify parents of an absence via automated phone call or text message after a student misses more than half of the school day, which is usually sent towards the end of the school day. Because of what happened to Maddie, parents will now be notified in the morning. Because I will tell you, at our kids' school, we get the call later at like maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
It would already be after the fact. Mm-hmm. So same thing here, but now they're going to bump that up to earlier in the day for safety purposes. Stefan's next court appearance is a pretrial hearing. It's scheduled for April 24th. The prosecution and defense will appear together before a judge to determine if they will proceed with a jury trial. Court records indicate that a jury trial has already been set, and it's set for May 13th in Osceola County. If found guilty of the sexual battery charges, which are capital felonies, he faces, just in itself, life in prison or the death penalty. So that in itself is enough to keep him in prison for life or potentially face a death penalty. a murder charge is coming. Yeah, that's no doubt.
For sure.
Just it's coming. It's a matter of time until they solidify their evidence.
So I mean, any jury that hears all this stuff is going to be like, yeah, for sure.
You put me on that jury, we don't even need to talk. And guilty.
It's interesting to know if it could be admissible, like, all at the same time. You know how there's, like, those stupid, weird rules where it's like, well, this can't be talked about during the trial because they're two different things, you know? Like,
I mean, this is all linked together. Maddie was turning 13. She was getting older, and with that age comes confidence. I mean, our daughter, she is fierce, and she will tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And put me in my place if I deserve it. And it was likely going to be that Maddie may have said something that indicated that she was going to tell somebody. Mm. And that's probably, so all that sexual abuse is what led to her death, no doubt.
So, well, it's good. I mean, definitely tell people, man. You know,
100%.
Anybody who's parents of, you know, young children, remind them if you see something or something happens, you say something.
And talk to your children if anything doesn't feel right.
I always tell the kids, like, I don't care if somebody said they're going to kill me. Like, I want to know. And I promise you they won't kill me. I promise you.
We'll handle ourselves.
Yes. I will not be killed by somebody that hurts you. Trust me. Like, so, it's going to be the opposite way. And I hate to talk like that, but it's so true. Like, I want to be them open book, and I want them to know some bad things happened, and, you know, so they can recognize it if it happens to them.
Yeah. On our way to record this episode, you're like, oh, I heard you say it's going to be another case involving a child. And, you know, our kids, of course, are asking questions, and I'm like, well, I can't say much because, you know, I'm not presenting it yet, and I don't want your dad to know. And, you know, I said, it's a very sad case. It's a 13-year-old, and it ends terribly. So it's tragic. So it's very likely at this point that there is enough evidence to bring a murder charge. Again, detectives just want to make sure that it's airtight. They don't want any reason for any jury member to not say guilty for the murder. So there are still so many unanswered questions at this point in time. When was Maddie murdered? We don't know.
Yeah.
We do know.
Could have been the night before, you know?
You know, exactly. It could have been the night before. So why did Stefan place Maddie's... So here's what happened. The sheriff's office had said that when they saw Stefan's car on surveillance coming and going, because he did come and go from the apartment complex that morning, that they saw Maddie in his car at that time, and she is believed to have been deceased at the time that the camera picked her up coming in and out of the complex. So why did Stefan place her dead body into his car and drive in and out of the apartment complex knowing that there were cameras visible everywhere? So again, he specified to investigators when he was telling them what happened that morning that when he drove Maddie to school, she slept most of the way. That is because he basically would have either propped her up in the car when she was, but they could clearly see in the video that she was deceased at this point. So I don't know if she was like laying in the back seat of the car or what.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
But that's what happened. Yeah. So Stefan was seen throwing Maddie's items into the dumpster at 7:35 a.m. The license plate reader placed him at the school then at 8:10 a.m. So he did drive to the school. And it was then seen returning to the apartment complex 9 minutes later at 8:19 a.m., despite the fact that school didn't start until 9:30 a.m. So there's a big window of time here in terms of when he could have killed her. So was it to make it appear that he had actually dropped her off at school? Did he hope that the license plate reader would pick him up at the school?
Yeah.
There's so many questions we don't know. Where was Maddie's mom during this time?
Probably working like she always is. They said her birthday parties.
They said she didn't take Maddie to school that morning because she was too tired. It sounds like Jen is normally the one to take her daughter to school based on the things that I heard. So again, you know,
are they still together?
Well, he's in jail.
I know, but like, does she see him?
We know nothing. I mean, no idea where Jen is, what's going on with her.
Because like, if they are, then that's probably, you know, pretty indicative that they had something to do together. But I don't know.
We have no idea where Jen is right now.
Oh,
so,
really?
No. She hasn't said anything since the initial reports when Maddie was missing before Stefan was arrested. So again, Jen mentioned that she saw Maddie getting ready at 8 a.m., but why did she say in another report that she had seen her the night before? We believe at 8 a.m. Maddie was already deceased. So does she have any involvement in this case? There's just so much we don't know. The other thing is cell phone data indicated that Stefan had been active on Telegram app. I guess, do you know of the Telegram app?
Yeah, it's a more secure messaging app.
So he was active on that app until just before midnight on the night of the party / the morning of Maddie's disappearance. So did he kill her that night? We don't know.
Somebody I know who buys drugs from time to time, they use Telegram.
Hmm, good to know.
Not going to say who, coppers. Nice try.
So apparently because he was active on the Telegram app, there's no way for them to get any information on what happened there.
Yeah, it's encrypted.
So, yeah. So, did you have anything else to add about that?
No.
Okay, so thus far, Stefan's cell phone has been described as a treasure trove of information.
Horrible treasure trove.
A treasure trove of nightmares.
Of hell, yeah.
And will likely provide a lot more information in regards to Madeline's murder. Again, they're still doing their full investigation. Geological information and other evidence may assist in adding evidence to a potential murder charge. Experts reinforce the importance of adult guardians speaking to children about abuse, even if you don't think you need to, as well as looking into certain indicators that something could be happening with your child. Specifically for sexual abuse, things such as mistrust or not wanting to be with certain people or knowing things that are inappropriate for their age group are all signs that something is going on. Hmm. Signs of emotional abuse can be depression, low self-esteem, and a lack of personal hygiene. If a child begins to show signs of withdrawing, it's a very important time to lean in from a caring perspective and have a conversation. Normalizing talking to your teens about all subjects, including abuse, is so important. If you know or suspect that a child is being abused, please call the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or 1-800-422-4453. The hotline is confidential. It's available 24/7 in more than 170 languages. Because this was something that had been going on for 5 years, and poor Madeline had to live through this until her dying day. And yeah, that is the sad and tragic case of the murder of Madeline Soto.
Well, I'm so sorry to poor Maddie, having to live with that for so long, most of her life, unfortunately, mm-hmm. It seems like, or a lot of her life at least. And that part at the end about being able to identify, it's important to like listen to our young children, you know, they're our future. It's so cheesy to say that, but they are. And it's up to us. Like, there's way more good people in the world than there are bad.
Of course.
So it's up to us good people to recognize those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And all those little cues you mentioned, like, I'm going to go back and listen to those or, you know, read them again just because I need to, like, identify that. You know, like, they talk about, like, sex trafficking and things, and I'm always trying to figure out more. Like, I read as much as I can because I spend time in airports and traveling and things, and anytime there's a kid traveling with somebody and like if they seem uncomfortable, I'm kind of looking because I want to make sure, like, every kid is so freaking special, like, mm-hmm. like you said, they, you know, they don't understand, they're so like pure and, you know,
and innocent,
yeah.
And they should be able to trust their parents and guardians to protect them, not be the ones to hurt them.
Right.
And that's a lot of the questions that I heard on the videos and court TV and such that I was listening to. You know, are police talking to her teachers? Did they see concerning signs that something was going on? And like I had mentioned in that photo where we know based on the videos and pictures that were on Stefan's phone that he had done something terrible to Maddie. And the very next day they're in that pool and you could tell by her hands that she was not comfortable with him.
Yeah, that sucks.
So like little signs that a child is withdrawing or not trusting or I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to see them. It's things like that.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, well, we're going. That's where we're going. Like, why don't you want to go there? What's going on? Can we talk about this?
Right.
And, you know, always keeping the lines of communication open. Our doctors are huge on that. Because like when we would be taking our son to the doctor, say he was 5 years old, they would say like, I need to look in your pants. I am here in the presence of your parents. They're giving me permission. I am the doctor. They would explain that so that that's not normalized.
And then afterwards, we would talk about it too. Yes. Be like, that was the doctor. If there's somebody that does that without mm-hmm. us, then you need to tell us because we care about you and it's important.
That was a perfect springboard to have that conversation with our 5-year-olds.
Because they don't know it's sexual. They just know somebody's touching them.
Right.
So they need to trigger in their head. that, oh, somebody's touching me. Mom and dad told me to tell them.
Tell them. Yeah. Exactly. Because when they're that young, they, you know,
they have like no idea. Said,
they don't know what sex is and what sexual is. And that was another sign. A child knowing more than is appropriate at their age group. Like if they're saying something very sexual at age 5, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Just sad that we even have to have this conversation.
But at the same time, it's good that we have more information now than ever before.
Yes, it's things are happening. But the whole point is that this should be going to a jury trial on May 13th, and we'll see what further charges happen when. Right now, he just has the 60 sexual abuse charges on him, not yet murder.
Now, so we'll see. He accidentally falls into the corner of a concrete wall a few times.
Just a few.
Yep. So, well, thank you so much for listening, and, you know, definitely, hopefully somebody got something out of this and we can identify these things, you know, while they're happening, before they happen, something like that. But thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. And Allison's hard work is not for nothing here. So if you want to hear more of what we talked about, you know, go ahead and become a patron. We mentioned that. Go look in the show notes. Go to patreon.com and type in Crime and Coffee Couple, or become an Apple subscriber on Apple Podcasts. We want to say welcome to the latest members of the Crime and Coffee Couple Club, to Crystal with a K. That's what it says. Cindy, Leanne, Christina, Eloisa, Lexianne, Joanna, and Nikki. Welcome to the club, and thank you so much for your patronage and support. And if you're an Apple subscriber, I don't have your names here, so Apple, you know, keeps them from us. So if you want to become be mentioned, just send me a DM on Instagram. We'll take care of that.
We'll give you a shout out.
Yep, Crime and Coffee 2 is our handle on there. So check us out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all those things. We're all over all those places. And
just
you can
think
see,
of a bowel movement. We're number 2.
Yeah, well, it was I picked 2 because of the couple, you know, and the Crime and Coffee couple was already taken, so I just did Crime and Coffee 2. I don't know, whatever. So hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you,
all of you.
Yep. And until next time,
bye. You don't get to say until next time.
I know. Well, I was waiting.
That's
for
my
you
line.
Well, I looked at you for a second and I saw nothing. I saw headlights and I was like, till next time. Bye.